Today we're going to be talking in our new series about growing. We're going to be talking about how we can grow things both intentionally and unintentionally in ourselves and in the world around us. And we're going to use that as a metaphor for how we can be thoughtful and should be thoughtful about how and what we plant in our world and in ourselves. I want to start with a story. A while ago, I'm going to characterize it as 2 years ago. My wife came to me and said, I'd like to cut out the hedges in front of our house. They were boxwoods. They were probably 25 years old, and they were dying and didn't look good. And we were in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and I kind of eyed them up and said, I have no idea what it's going to take to dig those things out. So I asked if we could put that project on hold. So this spring, I said, would you like to tackle that? And she said, yes. So we went out a couple of Saturdays ago with shovel and pruners and digging bar and dug those things up. And as we're standing there looking at the front garden with the shrubs gone, I said to her, so what are we going to put in there? And she said, I'm not really sure. So we went to Sun Nursery, and over a period of a couple of days, bought different things, brought them home, set the buckets and containers on top of the ground in places where we thought we might want them so that we could, you know, live with it for a little while, rearrange it, get the picture that we wanted, and then we dug up the ground and planted the plants, and now we're watering. There was a real intentionality to that whole project. We thought through what plants we wanted, where we wanted them, how it was going to look, what it would look like 10 years from now, all that stuff. On the other hand, you can also unintentionally plant things. I was listening to a podcast recently in which the person speaking was thinking about their childhood and the day that their dad turned over the lawn mowing to them. They were like 10 years old. And they were saying how their dad was super meticulous about how he mowed the lawn. He had this particular pattern that he mowed it in. He said it looked like a golf course. Our lawn was perfect with all the lines and the grass and no weeds and all that. He said his father would carry a screwdriver in his back pocket, and every time there's a dandelion, he would dig it out right on the spot. So he said, when I took over, my dad gave me all the instructions and I started mowing the lawn. And he said, I listened to almost all of them except that thing about the dandelions. He said, it just seemed like such a hassle to have to stop the mower, come around, get out your screwdriver and dig up the dandelions. So he said, I just mowed them right over. And he said, that worked fine until the dandelions became puffballs. And he said, I'd hit those, and they would go out the side chute of the mower and spray out with all the rest of the grass. And I didn't think anything of it. Until, he says, several weeks later, my dad's near golf course level front yard turned into a meadow covered with dandelions all over the place. He said, now, I wasn't trying to be a dandelion farmer, but that's exactly what I became. Without thinking about it, I was planting seeds everywhere, and they grew. And you could tell the world was different because of it. So I want you to think with me about the things that we grow in this world, intentionally and unintentionally. Because there are times when we plant things with meaningful purpose. We are trying to get that thing, an attitude, a behavior, a different pattern. We're trying to plant that either in ourselves or in our world. We're trying to plant it in our children. We're trying to plant it in our friendships. We're trying to plant it in our neighborhood, something that we would like to see grow. Now, there's few of us who would say, I'd like to see anger grow. But sometimes we spread it, don't we? There are few of us who say, I'd like to see fear grow, but fear spreads. As a matter of fact, it's kind of amazing how contagious some things can be. Have you ever walked into a room and somebody's yawned? I know. As a matter of fact, when I walk into a room or I'm in a meeting and somebody yawns, I immediately struggle. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't want to yawn 30 seconds ago. In fact, just talking about it makes me want to yawn. Is that doing that to you? I wonder if anybody in your room has yawned yet, just because I said the word. It's amazing how contagious things can be, how they can grow without us even intending for them to do that. Laughter's the same way, isn't it? I remember I was in a meeting recently with Pastor Kathy Vitick and some of the other staff. We were sitting together and somebody said something that struck Pastor Kathy funny. And she started laughing. And it moved from just a general laughter that was over in a couple seconds to a rolling laughter. That she was laughing so hard, she was crying. She couldn't stop herself. And after a few seconds, Pastor Brenda and I looked at each other and we just started chuckling. Because it was... First of all, there was joy in us that our sister had, you know, was so overcome with this. But also, it was contagious, like we just started laughing too. Others in the room did as well. We're made that way. Things can grow in us intentionally and unintentionally, and things can grow in our world intentionally and unintentionally. So today I want to talk about hope. And what it means to plant hope, because I think more than ever, our world needs us to plant hope. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and we're going to talk together about what it says. We've already looked at the first two sections of this verse. We're going to look at the last section of this verse and see what God's saying to us. Here it is. I pray that God, the source of hope, we've talked about that before, God is the source of our hope because of the plans that he has for us, the designs, the good things he has in mind for us as a father. The source of our hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. I pray that he would fill you completely with joy and peace. We talked last week about that. We had a cup. I'm going to use an imaginary cup and a pitcher. And we poured the water in and we said, God would fill you. And we also talked about the fact that we leak. We leak joy and peace. I pray that God would fill you. God, the source of your hope, would fill you with joy and peace because you trust him. That because he's the source of your hope and you trust him, he will fill you with joy and peace. And then he says this. When that happens, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will overflow. Now, I'm not doing that today. That particular part of that imagery, you will overflow. I'm not doing that overflow today. Why? Because it would make a mess. Right? If I took a cup of water and poured it over, it would make a mess of this table, it'd make a mess of this floor, and then Linda Roberts would be after me. The trustees would be like, what are you doing? Because it would pour out here onto things. But that's not the image that Paul was trying to give. When the hope that he pours into us overflows out of us, it doesn't overflow onto a table. It doesn't overflow onto a floor. Where does it overflow into? Well, it's the same place that anger overflows. It's the same place that patience or impatience overflows into the lives of the people around us, into our world. We carry it with us, and so as we carry it, the overflow can intentionally flow into other people's lives. And God designed us to be agents of hope. That's how he made us. He made us that way. So I want to talk today about three ways, simple ways, that you can be an agent of hope in our world today, right now. Here's the first one. You ready? The first way you can be an agent of hope is by listening to someone who's afraid. Fear and hope tend not to live in the same place together. So when someone has fear, they're going to wrestle with it. As a matter of fact, this sounds kind of preachery, but fear needs an ear. It needs someone to listen to them. And if you felt afraid, you know that's how we are. Ask a child who's afraid. Who do they want to talk to? Mom, mostly. Right? Our desire to deal with that is a desire to talk about our fears. And as we do that, very often when we have a place to talk about our fears that's good and healthy and has hope and safeness to it, our fear tends to dissipate and hope is returned in its place. Because the person who's listening to us, if they are not overcome by our fears, if it doesn't spread to them, they become a source of hope that spills into us. And it is a beautiful thing. I had a neighbor who came to me recently and was talking about the fact that their employers shared with the entire company that there were going to be people losing their jobs. Some had already had. And he said there was kind of this fear that just spread throughout the company. He said it was fast. You could feel it. And he was talking about his experience of that. And as I listened to him sharing this, he said to me, I don't think I'm going to lose my job. I have a pretty important job at the work that I do, so I don't think I'm going to lose it. But he was dealing with a low level of fear. And he needed me to be a place to listen, to assure, to bring comfort, to bring hope to him in the middle of that. And to the degree that I did that, he felt the fear leave him and hope beginning to restore itself in us. You've seen this happen many times. You know this. What I'm telling you is that right now, we're full of the coronavirus. There's how many things are going on in our world just this week? How much is in people's hearts? We need people to listen to other folks' fears, especially because right now, people who are already dealing with emotional issues are really wrestling. Do you know I heard a stat last week that said there's been more suicides in the state of California in the past 30 days than all of last year? People are dealing with stuff. Be a source of hope. Listen to the folks around you. It's so important. Here's the second thing you can do. You can lift a burden. For those of us who are carrying around stuff in life, and we all are, we carry a certain amount. As human beings, we're designed that we can carry a certain amount and we're okay. And then after that amount, after we reach whatever level that is inside of us, life becomes much harder. Life, the world seems darker. It seems harder to face. It feels overwhelming. And hope can begin to fade. And sometimes taking a single thing off of someone's pile can do, can do amazing things. And so in 2005, I had my second back surgery. We'd been through it once before on a different part of my back, and we knew what we were dealing with, my wife and I. But this time we had a new house, Sienna was with us, we had a new child, and there was a whole bunch more responsibility that my wife was carrying than she was the previous time. And she has to carry not only her responsibilities, but during that time, as I recover, all of mine. And so a friend came and said, hey, how about if I mow your lawn? How about if I take on the responsibility of mowing your lawn? Now, I'm the kind of person who hates having others take on my stuff. And so I had such a hard time with this. But I knew that they weren't just taking it off of my plate. They were taking it off my wife's plate. So I said, yes, would you please do that? And that person, they said, look, I love mowing the lawn. It's my joy to do this. They loaded up their push mower in the back of their pickup, drove 20 minutes to my house, mowed every week throughout the entire summer and well into the fall until the season was over. And every time they came and I heard the lawn mower outside, I thought, thank you, God. Thank you that I did not have to deal with it. Thank you that Kelly did not have to deal with it. Thank you that you have provided for us. You've taken that off our plate. To this day, I'm grateful to that person because it was a gift of hope that they took one thing off my pile at a moment where there were so many things that had gotten put on my wife's pile. What a gift, what a joy. Here's the third way. The third way is to create space for somebody who's dealing with some darkness in their lives so that they can experience change. To create space for someone who's dealing with darkness in their lives so that they can experience change and hope as a result. Many years ago, I'm going to say 25 years ago, I had a person in my church come up to me and say, can I talk to you? I said, of course. So we sat down. You know, they asked me that on a Sunday. We sat down at a different day and time. And they said, I have a favor to ask of you. And I said, okay, what is that? And they said, well, I was wondering if you would be willing, and they paused for a second. This person was so timid, so quiet, so unassuming. I knew very little about them. I didn't know what was going to come out of their mouths. I had no idea what they were going to ask of me. They said, I was wondering if you would be willing to come with me to an AA meeting to celebrate my 25th year of sobriety. Now, I was young then, and I didn't realize the way I do now the significance of that moment. I knew that it was important. I knew that that was a huge deal. But now, 25 years later, having walked with so many people through so many different things, wow. So I said, yes, of course I'll do that. So I went with them to the meeting. I'd never been to an AA meeting. I sat down, I listened to all the people around who shared their name and their stories until it got to my parishioner. And he stood up and he shared his name and he said, today I celebrate 25 years of sobriety. People clapped and cheered, and after the meeting, he thanked me, and we talked for a while. And he said, there aren't very many people in the world besides the people in this room that know that I come to this meeting. And I wanted someone else to know. I wanted somebody else to be able to celebrate with me. These people have journeyed with me, they know. Week after week after week, they know. It was just another meeting. But I wanted someone else to be able to hear my story and to be able to celebrate with me like it was the first time and to be able to say, yay, way to go, good job. To be able to accept me for who I am and to know that this is what's going on inside of me. I needed to expand the circle of safe people in my life. Thank you for coming. It was a high honor, a high privilege. You may not have ever had that happen to you, but here's what I'm going to share. Here's what I'm going to suggest. If you are willing to become a safe person for others to wrestle their stuff inside them with, you will discover some amazing things will happen. People will naturally begin, friends, even those close to you, will share things that they're dealing with. And when you create a space for them to work it through, to wrestle it out, it doesn't mean you don't challenge their thinking or call them on things. You can. But be a safe space for them to get through all that stuff. What a high moment of honor to watch someone wrestle with and work through their change. Some of the greatest planters of hope in this world have done that again and again and again. It's such amazingly important work. I was struck 2 years ago when I heard the story of Daryl Davis, who is an African-American jazz musician who accidentally, after a jazz set, met a Klansman, formed a relationship with him, and after a long set of conversations, the Klansman actually turned in his robe and quit the Klan. And over the course of the years, Daryl collected 200 of those Klansman robes because he became a place where people could safely wrestle with the darkness inside of them. That's the level of importance this kind of growth and hope has. It can change lives. It can affect hearts at a deep level. And all of us that God pours his hope into are called to be in that work. All of us are called to be in the work of creating safe space for people around us so that they can wrestle with that, knowing that we ourselves wrestle with our own stuff. And so I'm challenging you today. Would you, I know that many of you unintentionally grow hope. You have an opportunity that's just sprung in front of you and you respond to it. But I'm asking if you would walk out of your door and intentionally look for places where you can listen. Intentionally look for places where you can lift a load. Intentionally look for places where you can be a safe space for someone to wrestle with their darkness. And allow God to do something huge that this world desperately needs right now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your presence and your power. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you that you've given us hope so that it can spill into the lives of those around us. Help us to be intentional about that. Help us to be thoughtful. There are so many opportunities. There's so much need in this world. And huge figures in our history and in our lives, we've seen them do that. We've seen that in Dr. Martin Luther King and Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela and people in our own lives who have lifted burdens and heard our fears and spoken hope into us. And so help us to join the parade of people before us who have been willing to intentionally plant hope in this world. And to know that because of that, it will grow and our world can be brighter. It will not grow as fast as a dandelion overnight. It's more like a tree that grows over time and becomes bigger and bigger. Enable us to be in that important work. In the name of Jesus, we pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.